Hear now the Holy Gospel from John, the 19th chapter. But standing by the cross of Jesus was his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scriptures, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch, and they held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." He bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the body would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and they broke the legs of the first and the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true. And he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And again, another scripture says, "They will look on him whom they have pierced." This is the Holy Gospel for this day. John 19, verse 34 states, "One of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once came forth blood and water." Blood, a major theme throughout the Gospel of John. In John chapter 1, 29, we heard those words at the beginning of our Lenten journey, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Yes, the Lamb we sing in this season, the Lamb who shed his blood. In chapter 1, verse 36, we hear, "Behold the Lamb of God," and we hear, "Whoever feeds my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life." In John's gospel, blood has one purpose. It is to wash away our sins. Sin, a part of every one of our lives, always at the doorstep. It never gives up on us. We can never do enough. We fall short. Sin, it's the reality of our lives. Not because it's just at the door, but because all of us let sin invade into our lives. Yes, sin. It is a part of each one of us. It trashes our living rooms, the basement, the kitchen, the bathrooms, the backyard. It leaves a terrible mess. And wants to be the constant companion of our lives. We spend a great deal of our time trying to get rid of sin in our lives. We try to hide it. We try to justify it. Yes, but the mess is still there. We even try to project that sin on someone else. We blame someone else. We blame anyone but me. Blame your spouse. Blame your children. Blame your parents. Blame your teacher. And while we are at it, let's blame the government and the system we live under. And then there is the realization that the blame game doesn't work. And so we say, hey, it's no big deal. It really doesn't hurt anyone. It was just this once. No one will really ever know. Yes, we project, we rationalize, and they don't work. And if they don't work, we try comparing. You see, what I did isn't as bad as what you did. If you think I'm bad, you ought to see my boss. Or you ought to see my sister or my brother. Remember what he did. And oh yes, I'm a saint compared to every one of you. But there again, it isn't enough. And so then we try to stuff it. Stuff it way down inside. We love to deny it. Yes, it was wrong. But I'm just not going to think about it. And of course, there's always the distractions. We keep ourselves so busy. We run from place to place. We run yourselves ragged. So that when you hit the pillow at night, it doesn't haunt your heart or muddle your mind because you're so tired. If these don't do enough, then there is that being evasive. You know, a few pills, they'll work. Just one more drink. A joint might help. TV, sports, money, keep naming it. Anything to evade the consequences of our sin. We all do it. And there's only one problem. It doesn't work. We wake up the next day, sin is right there with us. It is a part of who we are, and there is only one solution. It's to stand under the cross as John did on that first Good Friday. He writes in verse 35 of the gospel today, "He who saw it has borne witness, his testimony is true, and he knows he is telling the truth that you also may believe." Yes, John gives us testimony of these things. He tells us they are true. He tells us that we need to believe, and by believing, we can have life in his name. At the cross, your sins and my sins are forgiven. The blood again of the sacrificial lamb. It is that blood that covers our sin. It is that blood that paid the price for the entire world. Yes, sin has been forgiven. You are free. Good Friday is a reminder of the cost of that freedom. On that hill outside of Jerusalem was a brutal, barbaric event. Jesus had been stripped, beaten, flogged, and now those nails piercing his body on a cross. There on the cross, his arms were stretched 6 inches upward so that his soldiers' shoulders were dislocated. Imagine the pain and the suffering there on the cross. Peter Paul Rubens, a famous artist, also painted another masterpiece of this time of the year. It's called The Descent from the Cross. In the 17th century, there's a picture of it on the screen. In the background are dark billows of clouds. And then in the front is Jesus. A diagonal line made by Christ along the shroud there. Head dangles to one side. His body, you can see, is limp. The greenish color of death is there. In the left corner, his mother Mary, painted in blue, reaching for her son. Another woman supports Christ's foot as it rests on her shoulder. This is Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. And next to her is another woman, the tears flowing, and identify her as Mary Magdalene, who we will talk about on Sunday. Utterly crushed, frantically wondering. Then there's the man on the ladder, Joseph of Arimathea. His rich clothes comport with his having enough money to buy the burial spices, to provide the new tomb. And then next to him is Nicodemus, who came to Jesus at night. He's there in the black. And of course, the person in the red, John, the beloved disciple, the writer of our gospel, who talks about the importance of blood. And so he is seen in red. We know that image. We know that John, standing there, Jesus said to him, "Behold your mother," and to Mary, "Behold your son." Yes, blood. John is covered in the blood of the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. That is John's witness to us. And oh yes, you can't probably see it there, but in the right-hand corner is a small piece of paper with the Latin I-N-R-I on it, with a rock on top of it. The letters stand for Jesus Nazarenus Rex Iudaeorum, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. And next to it, an offering plate. If you could look closely, you would see the crown of thorns laying there with more blood. Blood is God's offering plate. Christ suffering, dying. It is God's gift to each one of us of a Savior. Today, stand at the cross. Come to the cross. Even as Peter Paul Rubens' painting invites us. Know that Christ's blood is the solution, the only solution for your life and mine. In a few moments, you will be able to come to this cross. We're there. I invite you to nail your sins and be reminded of that blood given and shed for you, so that the sins of the world might be taken away. Amen.